Have your sports curiosity cured.
The Canes have rallied from 3-0 down to tie it. Drury enters the zone, plays it in deep for Carolina. Loose, score! Jordan Martinook gives Carolina the lead. A broken play, a bouncing puck right on the doorstep.
A veteran of the sports reporting game for over 25 years.
Won't go, Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining. The Garden is shaking right now. What an incredible sequence.
Breaking down Edmonton's favorite teams.
Over to Ekholm. He dishes, and now McDavid has it. McDavid comes into the zone. He's wheeling and dealing. McDavid, a pass in front. The shot is blocked. First goal for the Oilers of this series.
Sports Radio is back in the Edmonton area. This is Sports 1440 and the Kevin Karius Show.
Here we go for Sol 159, April the 23rd. Beautiful morning in the City of Champions. Welcome to the Kevin Karius Show on Sports 1440. Thanks so much for tuning in on your morning drive on the AM radio dial. We are streaming on iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app, and of course on sports1440.ca. And if you miss any part of the show, you can catch up by searching everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Be sure to subscribe, select the old auto download, and you will never miss a second of the show. Thanks so much. We're so glad you joined us on a Tuesday morning following a big Game 1 victory by the Edmonton Oilers over the LA Kings 7-4. That's the first Game 1 home win on home ice since 1990. Yeah. That ends a seven-game streak of Game 1s as well. And you know what? We had Darrell Evans on yesterday, and of course, Darrell Evans is the analyst for the LA Kings. 42 years ago in 82, Darrell Evans had the Miracle on Manchester goal that won the game for the Kings in game number 3-6-5 after the Oilers had a 5-0 lead. Well, when LA made it 6-4 last night with, about a minute 15, minute 20 left, were you thinking this can't happen again? Because they, you know, the Kings were never really in this game, with the exception of scoring that goal late in the second period, the Adrian Kempe goal off of Bouchard off the skate, and that made it 4-2. So yes, there was a bit of a game going to the third period, but that was quickly quelled with a quick power play goal by Leon Draisaitl. What a bullet of a! I mean, from a an angle that is just not even there, he has mastered and perfected that shot, and the Oilers' power play was just humming last night against the LA Kings. Well, what can you say about Zach Hyman? 3 goals, 1 assist. What can you say about Connor McDavid? 15th player to record 5 assists in a playoff game. The 4th Oiler, Wayne Gretzky, Glenn Anderson. Who's the other guy? Do you know who the other guy is? And what can you say about Evan Bouchard? 30 career playoff points in 29 games. To put that into perspective, Bobby Orr, Brian Leetch, 36 playoff points in 30 games. So you would think Bouchard might get, I don't know, 1 or 2. I would imagine things would tighten up come game 2 tomorrow night. But he's going to be in that conversation with guys like Orr, Leetch, Denny Potvin, 33 points in 30 games. Amazing. Texts already rolling in, 1-833-401-1440. And you know when texts are coming in before the show starts, that means people are pumped up. What excited you about last night's game? What did you like? Is there anything you didn't like? Send us off a note, 1-833-401-1440. One of the neat stats, and I mean, Hockey's a game of stats. Baseball's a game of stats. Sports, all sports. Everyone loves stats. But when you can figure out how many days between goals in the playoffs for a player like Adam Henrique, well, you got a lot of time on your hands. Adam Henrique, 4,333 days between goals. His last goal in the playoffs was in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final in 2012 when he was with the New Jersey Devils. He scores last night. Man, a long time between playoff goals, and he scored a big, big goal. What a shot. I mean, that is a bullet of a wrister, and he is fitting in just nicely on that top line. Everyone was saying, well, where is he going to slot in? Where is he going to go? He comes in, starts the year second line after the trade, second line left winger, goes up down to 3C. He's up, he's down, he's playing 2C. Now he's one left winger. So this is a guy, he's got the ability to move up and down anywhere you need him to play. Brett from Stoney texts in, nothing more electric than the crowd at Rogers is singing O Canada together. The place was absolutely rocking last night. Yes, it was rocking the atmosphere. You know what was funny? And maybe I was the only one that noticed this, but you know when they have the video segment to start the game? To me, inside the building, it almost like it was like it went a little too long. It was like a 10 second or 15 seconds that it went too long, and they didn't. And Stu Skinner started to lead the team out on the ice while the video tribute and the video, the pregame pump up video was going. So I thought maybe there was something just a little out of sync. Only, you know, you might not notice it if you weren't really looking for it. But the place, I mean, is going bananas. And I mean, even before the game, when you're walking into the building and everyone's around, you know, when you're walking, from the north side and you see, you know, you look over to your left and you see everyone going berserk in Ice District and then across the street, 104. I mean, our city gets behind a team like this like no other. It was amazing. Dean, I don't know. I'm not going to get in that, Dean. We're going to be a little positive yet today, Dean. Displaced UConner. I've seen a lot of Hatties. I have never seen that. Well, I think we need a recount. How can you go out and say there were 1,131 hats collected? Whoever counted those hats, that guy's got to get a career in accounting. There's got to be. Maybe it's got to be. How do you know it's 1,131, Duke? Like, wouldn't you just round it around? 1,150. I don't know, you know. So what is that? That's, Duke, you're the expert, and you're the 6 years of post-secondary education. What's the percentage of that of Rexall fans? If you've got, let's call it 1,131 hats, you had 18,000 in the building, well, 18,004 or 347. What are we looking at? 6% of the people threw their hats? 7%? Ballpark?
I'll tell you what, Kev. I'll do you one better.
You're going to figure it out?
What'd you say, 1131?
1131. And
let's call
18,347. What is it?
Wow. Six? What a smart guy. About 6.3% if you round up.
I never got kicked out of grade 4 because I was stupid. I was just too old.
Yeah.
You know?
Kevin, you got to move on, son.
Yeah. Well, you know, when a guy was in grade 8 and giving the teacher a ride to school, you know you were in trouble, dude. You know you were in trouble. You're right. Hey, Tyler goes, you're right. Enter Sandman played when LA came on the ice. It was just a little off. And I mean, things happen. And I mean, you wouldn't been able to tell because it was so loud in there anyway. I mean, I was actually, I ran into Tony Brar in the elevator, Duke. And I said, Tony Montana, I call him that all the time, which led me to Al Pacino. And Tony was off the start of the video. Speaking of Al Pacino, he was like, in Any Given Sunday. That's how Tony was on the big jumbotron. Tony Brar, Al Pacino, Any Given Sunday. Let's have a look at our text line. We got tons coming in. Raw Dog Reed says, Evander Kane looked good. How many chances did the guy have? Well, yeah, good point here. So that was another aspect of the lineup that maybe threw a bit of a loop for people. So all points were indicating that Evander Kane would start on the fourth line. Instead, he started on the third line with Corey Perry, Ryan McLeod. There was a time in the second period where Evander Kane and Dylan Holloway flip-flopped from three left wing to four left wing. So that's still a work in progress. I think Kane, again, he'll be the first to tell you. Like, I mean, he once he gets rolling, this guy is an absolute force. He's a wrecking ball. Brett from Stoney, KK, what did you think of Holloway last night? I think he's just getting his feet wet, dipped his toes in the pool. I think there's lots more to give. Again, when you're going down to the fourth line, and because the Oilers only took two penalties, there wasn't a whole lot of penalty killing. So, you know, he had the opportunity to get involved in the game. And again, he moved up to the third line with McLeod and Perry for some time in the second. And we'll see where it goes from there. But again, I think Evander Kane has a lot more to give. I thought he got involved in the play, and he went hard to the net several times, had some chances. He had that one. There was a two-on-one in the second period where he had a lot of time to choose his spot, and it looked like he was going to go short side because there was more room short side on Cam Talbot, but he went... It was underneath his arm, and Talbot just squeezed his arm together with his body, and that staved off a goal. Oh, boy, we got so much to get to. One of the key things I thought for the Oilers' success last night was support, and puck retrieval was solid, and they had support from the forwards coming back. So it's such an integral part on puck retrieval when a defenseman goes back. He knows that he's going to get hit, and there were a lot of hits last night. I'm not sure if the correct total was there. They had 45 hits marked in the first period alone, 25 by the Kings. But a defenseman, when he goes back, he knows he's going to get rammed up against the glass. So he needs to have an outlet, which is support, which is an opportunity for him to get the puck to whomever it will be to get relief from the pressure. The Oilers had that. And Connor McDavid postgame called it connected. That's the same thing. You can be connected when you're supporting a player like that, or you are supporting a player who is looking to make a pass. A very good an example of that was Adam Henrique's goal. So you see Zach Hyman top high slot, and he's looking for someone, but Henrique makes himself available open to receive a good pass from Zach Hyman. So, and then, I mean, wicked shot to make it 2-0. We get so much to cover. We're going to talk a little Oilers in 7:40 for sure. Then we'll blast it open with Mark Spector at 8 o'clock as well. We'll have some post-game comments from the Oilers, as well as Bill Lindsay's coming up at 7:20, right after the break, to talk a little Florida Panthers as the Panthers get set for their game number 2 in their series with Tampa Bay. In the NHL last night, well, Toronto back in the series with Boston. Auston Matthews gets a goal. Bruins and Leafs now tied at 1 after a 3-2 Maple Leafs win. Hey, Vegas, Mark Stone, the miracle is there. He's back for the first game. You know what? The good part about this is someone else's problem for 2 series. Let this be someone else's problem. What Vegas has done, is doing. Hadn't played since February 20th, but is just fine to start game 1. Just fine. Carolina comes back. The Islanders had a 3-0 lead. The Islanders had never lost in the playoffs. 80 games with a 3-0 lead. They lose 5-3. They were down 3-0. 2 goals in 9 seconds. The last one by Jordan Martinuk. He would be a friend of the show, wouldn't he not, Duke?
Absolutely. Qualifies.
David Schlemko texted me. He's a friend of Schlemko's. That's why we got him on. Schlemmer texted me during the game. What a shot by Adam Henrique. Because they played together in New Jersey.
Yeah,
right?
Correct.
So he said, when you talk to Rico, give him my number. I've lost his. But like, all right, Schlemmer, see what's going on. So that series now, 2-0 Carolina. That's a big, big opportunity lost for the New York Islanders. They could have gone home 1-1 with home ice advantage, making it a best of 5. That's what's going to happen between Toronto and Boston now. But Vegas, I mean, what do you want to say about this? Holy cow. I saw a text early. What was it? Right off the hop. That came even before Compro Evolution. Vegas LTIRs beat the Dallas Stars last night. Oh, we'll get to many more of your texts a little later in the show. As mentioned, Bill Lindsay coming up after the break. We'll have Spector, Sarah Valley, our hockey insiders in the 8 o'clock hour. At 9 o'clock, our co-host from beautiful down south in Palm Desert. Grant Fuhr, the former NHLer and Hockey Hall of Famer, will break down the goaltending, what he's seen so far, what he expects to see. Do the Kings make a change? Does Cam Talbot leave the Nets and place a big save, Dave Riddick? Josh Vernier, we're going to break away from hockey for a little bit in that 9 o'clock hour because we'll be so hockey heavy here. 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City to talk about the Jays. A big win last night to kick off the series in KC. We've got Allison Sandmeyer Graves. She's the CEO of Canadian Women and Sport. It's a survey that just came out about how popular women's sport is. So you saw what happened at the Bell Center the other day on the weekend with the PWHL. So we will talk to Allison at 9:40. Charlie Huddy, the former NHLer. He was on the Jumbotron last night. Will be with us at 10 o'clock. And then we've got exciting news. Navin Ramrak from Turn Sports, as Sports 1440 has some massive news coming down the pipe. Today we'll be having a release in the morning in the next hour and a half or so. It's great for Edmonton sports fans in our city. Coming up right after the break, Bill Lindsay, Florida Panthers analyst on the Kevin Carey Show. So glad you're with us on a Tuesday morning. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show. Time now for the game of the day, brought to you by St. Albert Dodge. They have 165 Ram 1500s all dressed up and waiting for you with an incredible 20% off MSRP. That's a savings of up to $14,000 as we welcome in Florida Panthers analyst Bill Lindsay back to Sports 1440. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for checking in on game day in South Florida. How are you?
Yeah, doing good, Kevin. How are you doing? I guess you guys are doing pretty good in Edmonton.
It was a wild
morning,
one.
But,
it was a wild one here, Bill. I don't know how much you got to see because it's on pretty late and stuff. But, yeah, everyone's happy. Of course, it's the same thing. You can say it down there. When you win, the whole city's hopping and jumping and everything. So I'm sure it's similar down there. Just give us a recap of what you saw in game one, Bill.
With the Panthers?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Panthers, the defensive metrics, if you want to dive into analytics with this team, they're so good across the board. Mm-hmm. And it played out in that first game. They can shut down the neutral zone and speed about it. Paul Maurice, the system that he's employed, it's a dump and chase system, get it out, control. And there was no speed for Tampa Bay in that opening game. No two-on-ones against, no three-on-twos against. Kucherov was visibly frustrated. There was a lot of turnovers in the middle of the ice, and that kind of feeds the beast for the Panthers. When there's those turnovers, it just gets dumped back in to the Tampa Bay end, and you have that extended zone time, and it just wears on the other team and wears. So if you don't make adjustments, if Tampa, if you can't dump the puck in and you can't have a forecheck against the Panthers, you're in for a long night. Pretty much sums up. And the Panthers stayed out of the penalty box. They were shorthanded two times. One was late with Carter Verhaeghe that didn't really have an impact on the game. Keep it at 5-on-5, minus 22 goal differential during the regular season for the Lightning, 5-on-5. Plays in the Panthers' hands, so they did exactly what they needed to do and wanted to do in game one. Mm-hmm.
So I should have said, did you have a chance to watch the Oilers and at the very beginning and just describe the atmosphere that you saw here and then what you're seeing down there, Bill?
It's phenomenal here. Yeah. We've been able to regroup it here. We throughout the course of the regular season, whether we had Winnipeg on a Tuesday night, we even had Edmonton in on a weekday, I believe, and we had 17,000 to 19,000 every game, and they were ramped up for us. You could see it in Edmonton, the excitement. There's no shortage. Like to see all the Canadian teams, what's happening with Winnipeg, Vancouver, Toronto's been trying to get this done for a long time. Yeah. Hockey's in a healthy place, Kevin.
Isn't it?
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
The fan bases are electric around everywhere, and it's same down here. You can see it in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. The buildings are exploding, and the players are loving it.
Yeah. When you talk to a player, and I mean, I don't want to go back to when you played, but it's totally different. I mean, the fans are more, they're just crazy compared to what it was when you were playing. Would you say that?
Yeah, in some buildings. I played Miami Arena down here. It was pretty loud here, too. Yeah. It got going. But throughout, I have my dad living with me down here, elderly. and we grew up in Fernie, British Columbia. But when they show the outtakes of the streets, Winnipeg and the different watch parties that they have throughout, my dad just goes bananas. He says, "Look at all those! Look at it! They're full inside, and they got another 20,000-30,000 people outside just screaming at a screen." He's amazed by it. They're all going crazy everywhere. That pretty much sums it up when you got a full building and you can just throw a watch party together out in the street and almost get another sold out building to watch it outside.
Yeah, it's just so cool. Bill Lindsay, Florida Panthers analyst, with us on the Kevin Carey Show on Sports 1440. How good was Sasha Barkov in Game One?
He controls the game, controls tempo, scoring shots were like 20-6 for that line, high danger chances, 6-1, slot shots, 12-2, it was a dominant performance from Reinhardt, Barkov, and Tarasenko, and Barkov controls the majority of it at both ends of the rink, going to go against the other team's top lines for the majority of the game. He's such a special player. It's hard to describe the nuances, the little things that he does right. He never cheats the game. He's never looking for offense. He's going to take care of the defensive side of the puck. Just methodical approach and can wear down. And game number one was outstanding at both ends of the rink. Exactly what you would expect from Barkov. And he's talked about a lot. I know he's gotten more notoriety with us going to the Stanley Cup last year, but he is a special player.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, is Paul Maurice matched lines in Game 1? Will he continue to do that? And then when you move over to Tampa, will Cooper try to get away from some matchups? What do you think there?
They try and get a – when you go against Kucherov, Point, and Duclair, if Duclair stays on that line mm-hmm. – they do try and get Barkov out there, but they're also okay with the Bennett-Kachuk line with Verhaeghe on it. And even this is where the Panthers are different and built, is that third line with Lostarina and Lundell and Rodriguez. Yeah. Lundell's kind of a mini Barkov. He doesn't quite have the size or the elite scoring ability, but he thinks the game and processes the game in the same way that Barkov does. So the forward matchups, there's not as much of a concern for Paul Maurice. He does try and match when he can, but it's not imperative. The one matchup that's almost that he does have to have is Forsling and whoever his D partner, Ekblad, is healthy. Forsling and Ekblad almost exclusively against the other team's top line. That is the only matchup that Paul Maurice is pretty much 100% concerned about, is getting Ekblad and Forsling against the other team's top lines.
Right. Bill Lindsay with us on Sports 1440. I want to throw a name at you, and I'm betting you're going to go, you're hitting this on the head. Carter Verhaeghe. Would you say he's one of the most underrated players in the league?
Yes, you're right. You nailed it on the head. So yeah, you take the journey for Carter Verhaeghe. He scored at the junior level, became a big-time scorer in the American Hockey League. Never given a top six role. He wins that cup in Tampa Bay as a fourth-line player. This is where analytics and Bill Zito's done a decent job with players like Forsling and Verhaeghe. And you dug into the analytics on Verhaeghe. He wins all the puck battles, does all the right things. If given a top six role, could he produce like he did at the other levels? Mm-hmm. Bill Zito felt comfortable with that. Gives him a chance. He had to earn it. He is so hard on pucks. He's always in the trenches, digs out, wins puck battles, goes. He's got an elite wrist shot. So he had to work his way up to being just producing 20, 25 goals at even strength, no power play time. Okay, you're pretty good. Keep advancing. Now you're getting 30, 35 goals. You're getting on the second power play unit. Last year, he had 40 goals, was on the second power play unit. Eventually this year, he gets up to he worked his way up after scoring 40 goals. He got onto the number one unit. So he's had to earn everything. Let's put it that way. That's maybe why he's underrated, but he works so hard.
Yeah, and maybe it's where he's playing for us in Canada. But, you know, I haven't seen him on a lot of lists for the Four Nations or Olympic mentions. I think he should be. What do you think?
That's a great point. When you watch him play, he drives lines.
Mm-hmm.
Tkachuk and Bennett, they love playing with him. And when it doesn't matter where Carter Verhaeghe plays. Third line, so he's been a fourth liner. Put him on the first line. He would be a complimentary piece. And he knows how to play with the star players because he's the guy that's going to separate everyone from the puck and create kind of that open space. He should be mentioned. He has that kind of ability, that kind of speed. It would translate well into a Four Nations or an Olympic type scenario.
Mm-hmm. Did that early game time have any bearing on what you saw in game number one, Bill?
Not too much. The physicality was there. There was over 100 hits in that opening game. So they came out. These teams don't. You could drop the puck at 10 in the morning or midnight. These two teams don't like each other, which is great for our state. These two teams being good at the same time took a long time to get here, and now this is three of the last 4 years we've met in the playoffs. So there is a lot of dislike between these teams. The game time did not matter that much. And what the Panthers, as I mentioned, they did. There was a lot of hits, but they stayed away from the scrums. I would expect more of that to build. 12:30 start, these two teams, 8 o'clock, it doesn't matter. The games are going to be played the same way.
Yeah, Bill Lindsay with us, Florida Panthers analyst, and our game of the day for St. Albert Dodge on Sports 1440. How would you describe, and you've touched on the atmosphere and what's it like when these two teams play, but statewide, how much, you know, is it generating a lot of eyeballs? How would you compare it to when other sports are going, say, head-to-head? Maybe it's in college basketball, football, or NFL. Well, how would you describe what the Panthers and the Lightning are gaining as far as attention in the state of Florida right now?
Yeah, we get a lot of eyeballs. We draw a lot of attention, and with our coverage, we're getting the prime spots with Bally's gets it for the first round, which is our local sports coverage. So your home team can cover the first round. Same thing with Tampa Bay, but the numbers are there to back it up, and the news coverage, you're starting to see it lead the sports when it comes on. So it's there. The coverage is there. I would never compare it to the National Football League because that's not comparable.
it's a beast, isn't it, down there everywhere?
To do that justice. But us being on the same time with the Miami Heat have had some good runs and some success. We get the same amount of attention and coverage as the Heat do at this time of year. There's a market for it down here with Tampa with what they've done, the couple of Stanley Cups. They sell out every night, and we're getting there. We damaged the product for a while, but making the playoffs for 4 straight years and keep knocking on the door, the fans are like, okay, this is what we want. You do have to win down here. That's with all, you talked about everything that goes on. You have to win. You have to be successful to build the brand, and we're in the middle of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick thought on game two tonight. What do the Panthers have to do to be successful and go up 2-0 heading back to Tampa for game three?
More of the same. Just make sure the structure's there. You don't get away from it. Stay on the penalty box is going to be a mantra for the series. Tampa Bay gets on the power play. They got confidence. They can score goals. It can kind of turn the other way and play with leads. The Panthers, if they lead in the game, they dictate the way they want to play. Mm-hmm. If they get behind one, maybe two goals, things change for them. They have to open up their structure, maybe have D pinching down on the walls. It could lead to odd man rushes coming back the other way. So it's playing the same way, physical brand of hockey, dump and chase, and playing to your DNA, your identity, whatever it is what you're going to have to do. And that all starts if you're ahead, the Panthers are going to be much more in control of games.
Bill, can't thank you enough. Enjoy game number two. Enjoy the playoffs. Man, it's the best time of the year, this first round, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it? Yeah, it's incredible. It's you never know. Maybe we could have Edmonton, Florida.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Well, you got a place to stay. You can stay at my house if you want, Bill, when you come up.
All right, I'm saying the same thing, man.
Okay, big guy. Have a good one. Thanks, Billy.
All right. All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, that's Bill Lindsay, Florida Panthers analyst. Saul, just a great guy, man. He's just outstanding. And our game of the day brought to you by St. Albert Dodge, an industry-leading 4.6 Google review rating. Head up the trail to St. Albert Dodge. See how easy it is to do business with the great people up there. Check them out, stalbertdodge.com. Coming up, top of the hour, we will have Mark Spector, Frank Saravalli in the 8 o'clock hour. After the break, we'll get to some Oilers sound. We will go around the league a little bit more, and we'll also discuss a few moments in that Oilers game last night. All coming up on Sports 1440. So glad you're with us on the Kevin Carey Show. Stay with us. Oh, the Duke. Little BA for Kenny. Dean texted in a little earlier. We'll get to this one from Dino. Okay, I'll go with this one. I thought Vinny played awesome, lived up to seaweed. And that was the nickname. And Duke was sort of explaining this, and then I remembered that he received guys trying to get through him. It's like swimming through seaweed. Steve texted in and says, should Moore's hit be suspended for the low bridge on Vinny? I don't think he'll face a suspension. He might get a fine, but dangerous hit, dangerous play, and... You know, it's a big, tall, tall guy, and a guy that's, you know, not, obviously he's not 6 foot seven, but when you crouch down like that, you're inviting danger into the equation. And I wouldn't be surprised if Moore gets a fine, maybe, but I would never think that he would get suspended. Two parts in the game that were very critical and very key. In the second period, Victor Arvidsson has a breakaway. A misplay in the neutral zone by the Oilers. And Arvidsson has a breakaway. Stu Skinner gets a piece of it to send it over the net. And then, like, seconds later, the Oilers make it 3-0 when Connor McDavid sets up Zach Hyman. And at that point, and this was key in the game as well, the stat sheet wouldn't indicate this, but the Oilers line... their number one line of McDavid, Hyman, and Adam Henrique totally dominated the second line of the LA Kings and Philip Deneau, Trevor Moore, and Victor Arvidsson. Totally dominated. They got some cheap goals at the end. You think of the two goals off skates, and then Cody Ceci snaps a stick, you know, desperation, swat to the puck. 2 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. Those goals evened out the stat sheet for those guys. But the Oilers dominated that line of Deneau, Moore, Arvidsson. But that was a critical part in the game. Arvidsson on the breakaway, Stu Skinner gets a piece of it. And then seconds later, Zach Hyman makes it 3-0. Now, here's the other one. I think that the Trevor Lewis goal was legit. If you look at the rules and how the rule states, I don't see him pushing the puck forward off of the glove towards the net. I think it's crazy to say that he's trying to do that. And I think that that goal should have stood. That would have made it 4-2. The Oilers, you know, now all of a sudden the Kings are back in it. I think that that was a good goal. And you could tell by the reaction of the Kings. And I'm not sure how they looked at it, and the NHL felt, you know, when you look at the rules, I see what the rules say, but I don't think, and it's all about, it's, is it a deliberate motion to push the puck towards the net with a body part, with your arm, leg, whatever? I didn't see that. I don't see that. That's not a deliberate. It's a discretionary call by Toronto. JC says, Moore's hit is the same as the one that Archibald got suspended for back in 2021. There you go. Carius, look up Archibald hit on Logan Stanley in playoffs a couple of years ago. Archie got a suspy for it. Totally agree. Great text, you guys. Excellent. Excellent. Kevin, please explain to me, after Moore's hit on Vinny, the separation we had in the game, why did he not have to answer the bell for that one? That's as dirty as it gets. Well, I would say you take a number. You're seeing how things go. Noel Rinsky, he deliberately tried to tip the puck and hit his hand. No brainer. Okay. I'm just going to say this. You can check out what Rob Brown on 630 Ched is one of the best, the very best hockey analysts going. He sees things that most people don't. Played the game, scored 49 goals. He can tell if a player is doing it or doing something deliberate. Rob Brown's gone on record saying he doesn't think it should be a goal. So there are other people out there that would say, I thought it should have counted. So that's where I'm going to stand on it. I'm staying with that. I'm staying with that. Doug says, thanks, your take on the Lewis goal confirms you fell asleep during the game. Again, i.e. Rob Brown feels the exact same way. Everyone in the press box, no one knew. Is it going to be a goal? Is it not going to be a goal? No one knew. Thank you very much, Doug. I didn't fall asleep, though. I was there. I was awake. After the game, Zach Hyman, 3 goals, 1 assist, 1,131 hats on the ice. Zach Hyman had these post-game comments.
Win a game one.
Yeah, very nice. But, I mean, lots of work to do, obviously, so still got to play as hungry as we do when we lose. So,
how does that potentially help you guys? You know, you obviously want to get this done faster than you don't want to get ahead of yourselves, but getting it done faster than could really help you guys going along.
One game at a time, I think it helps you in the sense that, you know, you only got to win 3 instead of 4, right? You're not behind the gun, so it's good. You got to defend home ice. You got another game on home ice, so it's important to take care of business here.
What's the most satisfying part of your game as a team?
I think the start of the third. Like, I think, you know, they have their push in the second. I think grabbing hold of it in the third and scoring a big power play goal, Leo's goal, I think that's just a huge goal to kind of, you know, settle the group down and kind of be the dagger, I think.
If the battle becomes playing the most minutes of your style as opposed to the other team getting to play it their way, you guys had most of that game. The game was played on your terms most of the night. Is that in itself accomplishment, I guess, something trying to do?
I think you want to exert your style. Like, I think you want to be able to have the game in the flow that you want it in, right? I think if it's the other way, you're frustrated and you're not happy, obviously. If they're, you know, imposing their will on you, it's not a great feeling. I thought special teams was great. Like, I thought the PK was solid. I thought Stu was solid. I've never seen so many, you know, bad bounces for a goalie in that game. So I think just a solid game.
You looked like you were a little banged up going off there. I know it's playoffs. You might not say much, but you were back on the ice after.
Yeah.
All good?
Oh, yeah. It was completely fine. I just hit, I don't care because it's nothing. It was just hit your funny bone with a slash, and then your arm goes numb for a minute, and then just on the bench, like, okay, it's back. So it's kind of like when you get hit in the foot with a puck, what goes on? Same type of deal. No, nothing.
Is that the most amount of hats you've seen for a hat trick?
It's 12 bags.
Yes.
14.
Yeah.
1,131 hats.
Oh, man. Good for the Oilers store. That's crazy. I've never seen so many hats, no. But pretty special to do it here in front of the fans.
Can you go through those hats and try to see what kind of hats you maybe would like?
No. They usually bring them down, but I think, you know, playoffs is no need. We're just going to move on and, you know, take the win.
Safe to say it's the biggest hat trick of your career?
Yeah. I mean, in the playoffs, every goal you score just, I mean, gets you closer to the ultimate goal. So
you had a career year, and the playoffs, everybody says, a new season. How important was it for you just to get off to a good start in the playoffs and just kind of carry your momentum over?
You know, I mean, you want to feel good going into the playoffs. Obviously, you want to feel good, but I think it's just at this time of year, everybody is so focused on winning. It doesn't matter who scores, obviously. That's been a big part of my game this year. So it's important that, you know, I'm able to produce. But I think regardless of who scores, we're all pulling on the same rope. And it was just a huge effort from the entire group tonight. So, it was a good one. Yeah, 95 away from 100. Special player, obviously. When he's playing like that, he controls the game. So doesn't need a score. He just setting up everybody and set me up 3 times. And he's been doing it all year. So, it's just that's what he does.
What have you liked about Henrik since he's joined the military?
Just so solid, like, just steady, like as a line mate, you want to play with somebody who's predictable and you know where they're going to be. And we haven't played with Rico for long, so to have that kind of predictability and understand where he's going to be at all times, like I think that's huge, and that's I think that's a huge compliment. Like, it may sound boring, but it's a huge compliment. And obviously, I think his puck touches are great. Like, I think he makes really good touches with the puck, and I thought he had a great shot. Like, he picked the corner. It's a hard angle, and it's just a huge goal. So I thought he played great. Plays special teams, takes draws. Like, just a huge addition for us.
That's Oilers forward Zach Hyman. Man, everyone's all over me about the Trevor Lewis goal. Freezer Bag says, you think your audience is interested in hearing you argue for a Kings goal? You know what's funny? Just got a text from Rob Brown. Can you imagine that? Rob Brown has just texted and said, I think it should have been a goal. You were talking to a biased crowd. How about this? And then Brownie adds, if it were Hyman and the same play, the fan base would be calling it a goal. So just think about it in that sense. It was a funny one from, so Noel Rinsky says, he deliberately tried to tip the puck, hit his hand, no brainer. Then Robbie Moe comes back and says, hey, KK, tell Rinsky he should be focusing on getting ready for the day of molding young minds. I didn't like the goal based on the spirit of the rule. Did it matter in the game? Likely not. I mean, the Oilers were going to win that game no matter what. So good to get a few of our texters and listeners. Get them going on a Tuesday morning. What do you think, Duke? What do you think, Duke?
I mean, I'm kind of more in line with the thinking of a lot of the texters here. Like, based on, do I think he intentionally moved his glove to swat it in? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, and I didn't take a lot of looks at it after I kind of thought about this, and there was a text about it as well, that if it was, like, because it was clearly off his glove and not the stick, and I think
he's facing.
It would have been a high stick if it went off his stick. Based, like I said, I didn't take a ton of looks at it, but the one angle looked pretty clearly like his hands up at his shoulder level would be above the crossbar, right? And shoulder level is, you know, pretty generic way to look at it. But long way around of saying, this one from Robbie Moe, kind of spirit of the rule, like, it just can't go in off your glove. Like, even if it's inadvertent, I thought they made the right call, and it should have been a no goal. But I totally see where you're coming from at the same time.
It can go in off your glove if you are not deliberately pushing it towards the net, pushing it in. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if he just pretend the same play happened and he's at the side of the net and the puck just basically goes, like, he's sort of facing the play a little more is what I'm saying.
Well, think about it the same way.
Facing the net, not the puck.
It can go in off your skate, and you can even angle it in with your skate, but you cannot kick the puck into the net. And rewind a number of years ago to a Chicago and Anaheim conference final, Andrew Shaw headbutted the puck into the net, and that is also not allowed unless that rule has since been changed.
As long as you don't deliberately.
Yeah, it can go off your head. It can go off anywhere in your body, but you can't intentionally use your head, your hand, or a kicking motion in your skate. So it's a bit of a nuanced rule, and like I said, a little more clarity, I think, would go a long way. But
I love all our textures. Keep them coming in. Beautiful, beautiful. When we come back, Mark Spector, Rogers Sportsnet, Frank Saravalli. I think Frank will have something to say about Mark Stone getting back so quickly. He sent out some twixting last night. Before all that, time now for a Sports 1440 update brought to you by your Alberta GMC dealers. Get up to $6,500 cash purchase credit on a 2024 Sierra, $1,500 Denali Ultimate. It's all during truck month. You can see more at gmcoffers.ca. Here is the Duke.